You have your Bibles, open them up to Romans chapter 8. Did I shut that off? Let's see. Yeah. Romans chapter 8. Okay. The prophetic words, everything's tying in. The plan's coming together today. Romans 8, verses 5 through 11 here. We're going to start off with. And it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death," or separation from the Lord, "but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To be connected, say connected. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are of the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Today I want to talk about five enemies of the will of God that Satan and evil spirits, the entire kingdom of darkness, will try to get Christians caught up in. And here, I had this on my paper too. Ready? Someone prophesied it. What you get entangled in. Oh, I love when there's a word used in prophetic that it's kind of, you know, it's not your everyday word, but I had it right there. So these are five things of the enemies, five enemies of the will of God in your life, all right, that the enemy wants us to get entangled in. We as Christians understand and recognize that Satan and evil spirits are indeed the spiritual enemies that we wrestle against on this earth, according to Ephesians chapter 6, right? But I want to expose these five points, these five things that Satan and evil spirits promote that are enemies of the will of God, of you on a personal level, and they can also be applied as at a corporate level as the body of Christ as a whole. These five enemies, if allowed to operate and influence us, will keep us from fulfilling the plan and will of God for our life, our divine destiny. Say destiny. Yes. I love that we all have a destiny. Amen. The thing is this, you got to stay within that destiny. It's not automatic. How many of you found that out? Amen. Not everything that happens on this earth is the will of God. It's just not. That's the lazy Christian's view of it. That takes the responsibility off of them. But how many of you know we have responsibility in the matter? Amen? So God has a destiny, a future, a plan for our life, but we must cooperate with it. If any of these points are active in your life as a Christian, your spiritual life will be hindered from moving forward with God. And it will hinder you from growing spiritually. We don't like that. We don't want to stunt our spiritual growth. Amen? So growing spiritually simply means this. I say it all the time. Let me say it again. Growing spiritually simply means this, that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit have a greater and more powerful influence over your heart and life. That's all that means. They have those two things, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, have a great influence on how you, on what you, come on, what? Think, say, and do, right? So as you surrender to that, that means you're growing spiritually. That's what that means. It doesn't mean you're growing, right? Are you following me? Right? We can joke about that because the holidays, right? We all probably got to shed a few pounds here. But listen, but growing spiritually is a process. When you first got saved and you heard the Word of God, and as the Holy Spirit, as you would live your life, the Holy Spirit would convict you of things. Do you remember that when you first got born again? You were maybe doing some things that you probably shouldn't have been doing. And all of a sudden that conviction, after you got saved, that conviction from the Holy Spirit came. And so you had to surrender any and all beliefs. You had to surrender any, come on, habits, sins that were not aligned with the word of God. And as you, that surrendering process is what I'm talking about, growing spiritually in the Lord. More influence. The Lord in the word of God has more influence. Some Christians are quicker to make those changes than others. Have you ever noticed that? Okay. Moving on. No. but that is the spiritual growth process. That's why spiritual maturity as a Christian is not based on how long you've been a Christian. Hello. Your spiritual birthday doesn't mean a hill of beans. It has nothing to do with spiritual maturity, but rather how far along you are in spiritual surrender to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So I want you to keep in mind that all of these points I'm going to share with you today, they're all rooted in one thing. The enemy always operates in one thing. Can you yell it out? Deception. The enemy, all of these have to do with deception, all right? Because listen, the Christian life is amazing. Living a holy life is amazing. And it takes deception for you not to realize that. Amen? Have you figured out by now that Satan and evil spirits, the kingdom of darkness, they are masters of deception? So we need to be aware of these things, these five things that I'm going to be looking at here today. Because these things will hinder, come on, that surrendering process, that spiritual growth process. So we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to be aware of the possibility of these things trying to creep into our thought life. The more knowledge we have, the more equipped we will be to protect ourselves from these five tactics of the enemy. Ready? Here we go. Number one, the first thing that the enemy will try to do that's an enemy of the will of God in your life is that he will try to sow doubt into your heart. The devil tries to make you question the word of God and the goodness of God. Boom. I mean, take it to the bank. If there's a thought that pops into your head that makes you question God's goodness, question what he said in his word, boom, take it to the bank. It's the enemy. Plain and simple. There is a reason why Satan and evil spirits fight the faith message so hard. They know the life-changing power of faith in the word of God. They know the power in, come on, surrendering to the will of God. Submission to the will of God. You know what submission means? To put yourself under something. So we need to be sub, right? We need to put ourselves under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the word of God. They know that absolute trust and faith in God's word will make every doubt and insecurity vanish away, and it will activate the power of God in your life. Starve your doubts and feed your faith. I remember at Rhema, that was a phrase that we heard all the time in our classes. Starve your doubts and feed your faith. Say that with me. Starve your doubts and feed your faith. With reading and hearing the word of God, the word of God must get into your heart. It must stay fresh in your thought life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're so super spiritual you can't do anything natural. No, but remember how I told you before, there needs to be certain breaks throughout the day. If you're having a busy day, make sure you're taking certain breaks just quickly just to think on the goodness of God. Think about a promise in the Word. Just get it back in your thought life. It will probably protect you from a lot of junk at work even. Hello, somebody, right? So the word of God must get in our heart. Some ignorant Christians will say this phrase, ready? I can't have faith, or I don't know if I can have faith. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. Faith is an act of your will. Faith is not just some magic thing that appears all of a sudden. Are you following me? It's an act of your will. You're choosing to believe what God says. So saying that you can't. No, it means that you're not willing to. Okay, so you got to understand, do you understand your salvation is dependent upon your faith, right? I mean, that was something you had to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved. It didn't just automatically appear and boom, and you're a robot now. No, you chose Jesus. You just like you choose to do the right thing in your life. You choose to live holy. You choose to watch the right things on TV. You choose to listen to the right things. God wouldn't require you and I to have faith if it were not possible. That would make him unjust, would it not? He wouldn't require, he wouldn't command us to do something if it were not possible. You got to get that into your spirit. Our entire Christian life is a walk of faith. You know what that means? Our entire Christian walk is based upon one thing. Ready? Your choices in life. Your choices in life. That's what it's based upon. All right? The partaking of salvation and the benefits of salvation are dependent upon your willingness to believe it or not. Now, so doubt then will short circuit the anointing and the power of God in your life. Doubt, you could say it this way, doubt is an interruption in something you once believed. Did you hear what I just said? Unbelief is more of a, I really never believed that. I got unbelief. No, but doubt means at one point you believed it. But now there's a temporary interruption. There's something interrupted your faith. A thought came in and interrupted what you once believed. You like that? Go with me to Matthew 14. Y'all are great today. All right, now, I feel like I'm at a comedy club right there. Now, Matthew 14, 25 through 33. Actually, I've been thinking about having a comedy night here at one time. No, like Christian comedy, for real. Like, you know, laughter's like a medicine, right? I like to make people laugh. I don't know if you understood that or not yet, but okay. Now, but I know how to get serious when it needs to get serious, right? Sometimes. Now, Matthew 14, 25 through 33. Let's take a look at this here. And we all know this account, but I wanted to read it again to start this new year. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answering him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Notice Jesus didn't use the words unbelief. He said, "Why did you doubt?" Why? Because at one point he did believe. In fact, he believed enough to get out of the boat and he literally walked on water. And then there was a temporary lapse, come on, in his thought life. "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter started out believing. That's why, again, he got out of the boat and he, in fact, did walk on water. Faith caused him to get out and act. There's always some kind of an action to faith, all right? So doubt, you could say this way. Doubt short-circuited Peter's faith and it caused him, ready? I love this. This strikes a chord in my spirit every time I say it. Doubt short-circuited Peter's faith and it caused him to be subject to and a slave to the natural elements. Did you follow what I just said? That doubt, that interruption of belief caused Peter to become a slave to the natural elements in the natural realm. But his faith caused him, come on, to override the natural elements. Oh, see, this is where you need a spiritual mindset to think about. Who wants to walk in miracles, signs, and wonders? We need this mindset. We need this. Faith will cause you to override some things in the natural realm when it calls for it, when need be. Amen? So faith caused Peter to override natural elements. It caused him to not be subject to those things in the natural realm. Faith in God and his word will cause the supernatural power of God to be released in your life on this earth. So Jesus rebuked Peter for doubting. Or here you could say it this way. Let's take it deeper. Jesus rebuked Peter for entertaining an interruption of faith in his thought life. Did you follow me? That's kind of a more of an interesting way to say it, isn't it? Instead of just doubt, right? Just cliche, doubt. No, Jesus rebuked Peter for entertaining, for meditating for longer than what? 17 seconds. No, this thing came in and it short-circuited the faith of Peter. For entertaining an interruption of faith in his thoughts, he was questioning Jesus' integrity of his word to come out of the boat. Fear entered Peter when he took his eyes or his focus off of Jesus. Fear and doubt are cousins. Fear and doubt are totally related. Doubt didn't show up until fear did. Now, what you look at, what you entertain, what you give your awareness to, what you give your consciousness to, what you focus on, will define your belief system on the inside of your heart. The enemy will constantly try to shift our focus to a negative mindset. See, that's what he's trying to do all the time. You just picture a straight line, okay? That's our beliefs. That's our faith. The enemy's always trying to send something in from an exit, trying to send thoughts in, and he's hoping that he's going to short-circuit and you're going to take a, come on, wrong exit. That you're going to get off the highway of faith. Oh, my good. I don't know about you. I'm preaching myself happy up here right now. But that, the enemy's trying to tell you God's not going to help you. The enemy's always trying to tell you you're going to be a slave to this natural realm. You're a slave to this sickness or disease. You're a slave to this bondage. You must cast those thoughts down. You must, come on, overlook those thoughts. Don't focus on them. Get them out. Go back. Even if you have to make a positive confession with your spoken word, speak it out verbally. Amen? Overcome those attacks in your mind by willingly shifting your focus. You have to willingly do it, all right? The devil will constantly try to put thoughts in your head, telling you, come on, how many, you know, I've heard this throughout the years in ministry. Many people are saying, I asked for the baptism of the Holy Ghost for years. I never got it. I'm like, what? God's a liar? Well, I asked 1,000 times. Well, you just wasted 999 times because you got them on the first try. You're wasting your time. Amen? Or about praying in tongues, you know? So you got to overlook these attacks. Here's what you got to do. Let the attacks of the enemy motivate you to do more for God. Allow these attacks, these negative thoughts from the enemy that he tries to throw in, allow them to springboard you into radical faith. All right? If the enemy is trying to convince you that you aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit and that you can't pray in tongues, chances are you can. There's something that the devil's real good at, reverse psychology. Anybody ever heard of reverse psychology? If you didn't have those benefits, the enemy would try to tell you that you had them. And he would just, you know, try to, you know, deceive you that way. Reverse psychology. They would tell you that you received all the Holy Spirit when you became born again. And there, you don't have to chase anything. I mean, so all these attacks are happening in the body of Christ. That's why I said these points are not only for us personally, but the body of Christ as a whole, all right? If you don't know the Word of God, or if you don't keep the Word of God fresh in your heart, the devil will always be able to twist, pervert Scripture all day long on the inside of you, all right? But you got to recognize that the enemy is trying to hit you with deception all the time, all right? And now, this is the hard part, though. You got to try to understand that when all hell's coming at you, right? How many of you know it's easy to stand here and preach about it? But if you got a situation going on with, you know, a loved one who has a disease or you're dealing with something and you got all hell coming at you, it's a little harder to focus at times. Amen. I'm just being real. Amen? You got a situation going on you maybe dealt with for years and you haven't seen any change, all right? So this, you got to reel in your thought life, reel your thought life in. So you got to understand this now. Doubt is a robber. Therefore, it is an enemy of the will of God in your life. Number two, here we go. Let's move on. The next enemy of the will of God. This is a biggie. Are you ready? Discouragement. I was watching, It's a Wonderful Life recently. We watch it every year. And in the beginning, God's talking to Clarence the Angel and telling him about George Bailey, right? George Bailey. Oh, well, big one, remember? You know, George Bailey, you get, oh, you guys, you need to watch that movie? Okay. Anyways, God is trying to explain to Clarence, hey, you're going to go try to help George Bailey here. And God says, he's really having a hard time. And the angel goes, what is he? Is he sick? Does he have a disease or something like that? And God goes, no, worse. He's discouraged. For some reason, that hits me right here every time I think. I was just telling her, I said, you know what part comes to me all the time is that part where he says, no, worse, he's discouraged. And that shows you the power of your attitude. That shows you the power of when someone is discouraged, how it can take you off God's will for your life. Discouragement. The enemy tries to magnify your problems by keeping you focused on them rather than on God. So a lot of these kind of tie in. But they try to make you feel like you're a failure. The enemy tries to make you feel like you're a failure, that you're without hope, so you won't even try. Satan and evil spirits, the kingdom of darkness, they are promoters of hopelessness. All right? If the enemy is the promoter of hopelessness, God is the author and the promoter, as we know, of what? Hope. Amen? Hope is powerful. Jeremiah 29:11 reveals that God has a future and a hope for us. There is no such thing as a hopeless situation on this earth with God's help and with God's power. Amen? Again, remember, let me bring you back in. Faith can help you override the natural realm. Did you hear what I just said? Faith can help you to override the natural realm so you're not a slave to it. Amen? We are partakers, 2 Peter says, of the divine nature. Did you hear what I just said? All right. Now, discouragement is based upon deception. Because if you are meditating on God's word, keeping his word fresh in your heart, in your thought life, those lies would bounce right off of your renewed mind and they wouldn't be received. So the enemy's always going to try to get us when? In that weak spot. When you're at the weakest point in your life, that's when the enemy's going to, he's saying, oh, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to try to get them off of the highway of faith here. When lies are received, it creates a stronghold in your mind, in your thought life, in your thought process. It shifts your belief system away from spiritual truth, and now you're basing your belief system on what you see. We walk by faith, not by sight. So obviously faith is independent, separate from sight, from the natural realm. If you could get a glimpse into the spirit realm and see how God is working on your behalf, you would be filled with such hope, peace, and joy. That's why God says you need a spiritual mindset, because indeed he is working behind the scenes. You got to keep in mind, there's a whole other world taking place apart from what you see in the natural. And that invisible world is what brings forth manifestations in the natural realm. Are you following me? So that's what's meant by walking or living in the spirit, all right? You're believing, you're having faith, I'm praying about this thing, and because I'm seeking the Lord, because I'm confessing the word, because I'm believing the word, I'm not going to believe what I see. I'm not going to get discouraged by what I see, what's been going on even for years. I'm believing that God is moving, the kingdom of God is moving in the spirit realm around me, trying to bring forth that breakthrough. Things of the spirit, things of the kingdom of God, they're more real to you. That's what it means to have a spiritual mindset. They're more real to you. They're more of a reality to you than what you see in the natural realm. All right? You're living from your born-again spirit. Amen? When you choose not to get discouraged by what you see, by what you feel, and by what you hear, it makes the enemy furious. How many of you want to tick the devil off? How many of you want to tick the kingdom of darkness off? Ignore them then. Ignore what's going on in the natural realm. Believe God. Speak the word of God but in faith. I mean, just act joyful no matter what's going on. I don't care what's going on in your body, around you, in your family. I don't care. Act joyful. Because here, I just heard these words from the Holy Ghost. He says, because one of two people are going to get discouraged, either you or the kingdom of darkness. Did you just hear what the Holy Ghost told me? Someone's going to get discouragement. It's either you or the kingdom of darkness. When you're walking in faith and believing God, it discourages the enemy. When Lucifer could not get to Jesus when he was tempting him, after the third time, Satan said, I give up. And he left. Now it does say he left for what? For a season. The enemy will come back. But obviously what's interesting about that account is the enemy can get discouraged, and I love that. I love that. They can finally say, man, this woman of God, this man of God, man, they are tough. I'm leaving for a season because I'm not getting anywhere. Amen. They say, I'm going to go work on those Democrats. I'm not, yeah, no. I don't know how you can be a Christian and support the Democrat Party. I don't care who that offends. I really don't. All right, now, here we go. When you choose not to get discouraged by what you see, feels good to be free up here as a pastor. I love it. See, that means we're not a slave to having people come to this church. I'm not a slave. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you want to be here, be here. If you don't, don't. Right? I'm going to preach truth. Amen? All right. When you choose not to get discouraged by what you see, by what you feel, by what you hear, it makes the enemy furious. If you have fallen into their trap, you need to just get back up in the name of Jesus. Amen? Discouragement is indeed an enemy of the will of God in your life. Let's move on to the next one. Are you ready? The next enemy of the will of God in your life personally and the body of Christ is diversion. Say diversion. Now, that diversion is this. The enemy tries to make the wrong things seem more attractive so you won't want more of the right things. Did you just hear what I said? It's a diversion. Say diversion. Diversion is defined as this, turning something aside from its course. Diversion. You're trying to get them to look on something else to try to deceive them from another thing. This is when people in the body of Christ can really go in the ditch spiritually. This is when Christians can get so consumed with the wrong thing that it takes them away from the will of God in their life. This is why the Word of God tells us to keep our purpose. Say purpose. The Word of God. Keep our purpose, keep the Word of God at the forefront of our thought life constantly. Because the moment you take your purpose away from your thought life, the moment you take the Word of God that gives you direction, you're going to go off course. Now, you can see why I added this, that it is indeed an enemy of the will of God. Amen? Now, go with me to Proverbs 4. Yeah, this whole thing in Venezuela. You guys see what happened yesterday, right? Praise God, right? Only corrupt individuals would stand up for a drug lord, dictator, murderer. Are you following me? I seen a meme on Facebook. It's Trump. It says, now for my next trick, I'm going to make the Democrats support, Hugh, whatever this guy's name is. It's just unbelievable. Trump could cure cancer and they'd still come against him, you know? So you're never going to make them happy, all right? Now, so Proverbs 4, 1 through 7. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. Why? Because it's going to keep you in the will of God. Now, quickly, I want to just continue on that. Go down to Proverbs 4:20 through 27. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, out of your thought life, spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, say straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Ooh, I like that. And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So it says, don't remove your right or your left foot, meaning you're in line with the will of God. And it says, evil will get you out of the will of God right there. Ponder, think about, meditate on the path of your feet, your direction in life, your purpose in life. When's the last time you thought about what your purpose is in life? I guarantee you, because here's the problem. We get so busy in life. We get so wrapped up. You ever see a horse who, they got these things, what are they called, blinders or something? Yeah, so you're like this, and it's like you get focused on the wrong thing, and you're not seeing what you should be doing, what you really should be, focusing on. Purpose gives us direction and meaning in life. And when that focus is lost, we focus on diversions that take us off course from the will of God. Diversion is, you could also say it this way, ready? Diversion is a failure to make first things first in your life. It's a perversion of priorities. Amen? You're outside of God's divine order for your life. Now, as a local church, we need to constantly keep our mission statement fresh in our heart. That's why I find it interesting, the prophetic words that came out today. It literally was talking about the mission of the church, and I had this in my notes here today, that we need to keep that. As the pastor, I go back all the time. I go back to that mission statement, and I read it on a regular basis so we stay on course. Amen? The enemy loves it when Christians waste their time on things that are not connected with their main God-given purpose as Christians. And specific God-given purpose as individuals, your individual purpose, right? How many of you know we got a general purpose as the body? But you, each one of you, me, we all have individual purposes and callings within the body and on this earth, right? Keep in mind, we are always representing the Lord Jesus Christ in our Heavenly Father's interest, not our own fleshly interest. Amen? That's why we're called ambassadors for Christ. We're representing Him, not ourselves, right? How many of you like it when you get misrepresented by someone? Isn't that horrible? I hate when I'm misrepresented by someone. Like, that's not me. I didn't do you right? Well, our Heavenly Father and Jesus don't like it either. Amen? Because we do a lot of things in the name of Jesus that Jesus wouldn't necessarily endorse. We do some things because we got in the flesh into it. And then we tack God on it. We got to stop doing that. Amen? It's sad to say, but some so-called churches are helping people go to hell rather than showing them the way to heaven. They would rather, a lot of churches are pushing a liberal agenda. You know what I'm talking about? The whole LGBTQABDC agenda. I mean, really? Come on. In this generation, we are seeing what the Bible calls the great falling away. People have itching ears. They would rather hear something that agrees with their traditions and with their flesh rather than hearing the truth of God's word. Don't be one of those that fall away. And keep in mind, that's not talking about the unsaved. That's talking about saved Christians. To fall away means you once were in and you fell from where you were. Hey, are you following me? So we got to constantly be humble. We got to be teachable. We got to be meek. Meek means teachable, right? So diversion is an enemy of the will of God in our life. Next, moving on. The next enemy of pursuing and fulfilling the will of God in our life is division. Say division. So the enemy tries to sow division and discord in the body of Christ to stop the flow of God's anointing. All right, it's a break in the spiritual pipeline between heaven and earth. Psalm 133 is very clear that God puts his blessing, his anointing upon unity among believers. So we must always live and stay in the mindset of on earth as it is in heaven. We must promote the attributes and the holiness of heaven on earth. Let me say that one more time. Y'all didn't hear me. Ready? Bump the neighbor next to you and say, wake up, he's talking to you. Now, listen, we must promote the attributes and the holiness of heaven on earth. That's what advancing the kingdom of God is. Promoting the interest, promoting the atmosphere of heaven on earth. Amen? Division was and is such an epidemic in the body of Christ among believers that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, in Romans 16:17, he said this. Ready? He said, now I urge you, brethren, Christians, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine or the teachings that you learned. And then it says, avoid those people. Are you following me? Division is a cancer in the body of Christ. I said division is a cancer in the body of Christ. Now, so Paul was talking about anything outside of the foundational apostolic teaching in the Word of God. If anyone is teaching anything different than what's in this book, Genesis to Revelation, don't receive it. In fact, it says don't even have fellowship with that person. Amen? Sounds harsh, but hey, there's a reason for it. Because that poison can get to you. All right? God was not and is not the creator. Now listen to me here. I'm not cutting these things down, but I just need to say this because we get so used to putting every church and all that in a box. Listen to what I'm saying. Ready? God was not and is not the creator of denominations within the body of Christ. That was man's idea. Are you following? Now, I'm not cutting them down. Okay, all I'm saying is God did not do that. That was man's thing of separating. Okay, the Bible doesn't mention any denominations, but simply the church or the body of Christ as a whole. One, amen? So denominations, I just want you to know this. I'm not cutting them down, but denominations are man-made. Now, a denomination, it's not a sin, it's not wrong, but what I'm trying to say is if those beliefs are not based on the Word of God, that's when a denomination can go in the ditch spiritually. You following me? Okay, now listen to what I'm saying here. Some believe in spiritual gifts, some don't. Some water baptize, some sprinkle children, all right? Some don't. Some exalt and pray to Mary and dead saints, some don't. Did you just hear what I said? Now listen. It's no wonder the world thinks Christians are so messed up. There's more unity in a false religion and a cult than in the body of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I see the devil's fingerprints all over that. I see the devil's fingerprints all over that. The enemy rejoices in division in the body of Christ. But God never intended for there to be division or a separation of beliefs within the body of Christ, within and among Christians. Can you agree with that?
Yes.
God never intended there to be division, right? Let me remind you this. There is one truth, not many truths. Amen. To any topic.
Amen.
Well, I believe tongues are of the devil. Well, I believe in tongues. Okay, someone's right, someone's wrong.
Amen.
I'm right, you're wrong. Or let's say, the word of God is right, you're wrong. That's the better way of saying it. That holds more authority than Pastor James, right? You always take it back to the word of God. That carries the authority right there. If all of those different beliefs among different denominations are all true, all right, that would mean God changes his mind and way of doing things. And that would violate Malachi 3:6, where it says this, where God says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." So I'm standing here today as an ambassador for Christ, as a representative for God today, and I'm telling you this, here's the press release. God is not schizophrenic. God wanted me to come out and tell you that today. God is not schizophrenic. When you try to make a God that suits yourself, that's called the sin of idolatry. Now, I say these things. They can sound kind of harsh. I get it. I do that intentionally for this reason. Because I want to motivate Christians to study each topic in the Word themselves.
Amen.
I want to drive you to the Word of God. Amen?
Yes.
Don't make a false God or another Jesus, or an idol that suits your unscriptural mindsets, or comfort zones. Do you really believe that babies, water baptism is for babies? Then give me one example in the Word of God of it happening, and I'll change my belief. You won't be able to do it. In fact, the very word baptized means immersion. You're putting the person underwater. You're not sprinkling them. Baptism is for those who are old enough to choose to make Jesus the Lord of their life, not someone choosing, you're not choosing for someone else.
Amen.
All right. So a little dab will do you. That's, if that's a nice little ceremony, I guess. You can incorporate it in baby dedication. But if I see you trying to dunk a baby, I'm calling CPS on you right now. I'm telling you that. When you read the book of Acts, it's very clear from the beginning that Christians, come on, were all on the same page with their beliefs. The early church were on the same page with their beliefs. And if someone wasn't, it was called out and demanded to be corrected. Do you notice that in the Word of God? Read it. When I'm telling you, Paul was pretty harsh when it came to those kind of things. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Boy, if someone was teaching something else, boy, Paul was all over it, man. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13. Paul even called out troublemakers in the local church. Boy, it's getting real quiet in here right now. It's okay. You know how to avoid that from the pulpit? Don't cause trouble. Right? All these people coming against cops and all these Democrats coming against cops want to defund the police. Well, there's a very simple way to avoid police. Don't do anything stupid. I don't know. Now, here we go. Oh, listen to this. Don't get me started. Oh. It's already begun, I guess. What a great start to the new year, huh? We're covering a whole bunch of topics, politics and everything. Welcome to Living Waters Chapel. Now, here we go. Now, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak, look at, the same thing, and that there be no divisions, no denominations. Listen, God's perfect will is that there's no denominations. It's just one big body. Are you following me? No divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been, I'm going to go to 13. For it has been declared to me, concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am Cephas, I am Methodist, I am Baptist, I am Catholic, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Do you see what I'm trying to say here? The problem with division in beliefs in the body of Christ is this. People start to associate themselves with a denomination or an organization more than the Lord Jesus Christ in the written word of God. How many of you had that before? You ask someone if they're a Christian and they throw back at you, no, I'm Baptist. Okay. Okay, you obviously haven't really studied your Bible much because Baptists are supposed to be Christian, right? The Holy Spirit, through Paul, confronted the Corinthians and asked, is Christ divided? Well, the obvious answer is no. Christ is not divided, all right? Listen to this. Great men of God like John Wesley and Martin Luther were used by God mightily to steer people back to God's word, away from traditions of men. Amen? Amen. They were you. Can you imagine the persecution they dealt with? Right? Because all these traditions were forming, and now you got these revivalists coming, and they're like, no, you got to get back to the word of God. All right? They really put up with a lot of persecution. Here's what happened. Are you ready for this? A movement turns into a monument. Did you just hear what I said? Oh, my goodness. Let me just camp out on that for a moment. Say that with me. Say, a movement turns into a monument. And that's when the Lutheran Church, Methodist Church denominations were formed. They were born at that time. Traditions of man messed it all up. Now, it was the comfort zones of men that messed it all up. A movement of God. What God started, man messed it all up with their comfort zones. And it became a monument that they worshiped. Be open to receive God's truth, even if it's uncomfortable to you at first. I don't believe for one New York second that John Wesley and Martin Luther's desire was to have a watered-down version of the gospel, a liberal version of the gospel being preached, and a toleration of sin and worldliness. Do you?
No.
Why? Because they were men who were on fire with the Holy Ghost, with revival fire in their heart. Man got a hold of it. Flesh got a hold of it. A movement of God turned into a monument. Again, I don't preach this from the pulpit to get people angry and upset at me. My goal is to bring unity back to the body of Christ, back to that early church feel. That kind of a unity can only be measured and centered around the Word of God. That's true spiritual unity when it's centered on the Word of God. If Christians wander outside of the Word of God, there is a division that's created. Division in the home and in your marriage is an enemy of the will of God too. Did you just hear what I said? Division in the home, in your marriage, is an enemy of the will of God. In fact, it says if that bond of love and submission to each other is broken, if it's violated, 1 Peter 3:5-7 literally says that the very prayers, your prayers can be hindered. Did you hear what I just said? We got to get back. We got to bring unity. Bring unity in every area of our life. Amen? Division is an enemy of the will of God for your life. I'm almost done here. The last enemy to the will of God that I want to talk about today is delay. Say delay. The enemy tries to make you put off doing something so that it never gets done. Oh, this is an enemy to the will of God. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, God, I know you're telling me to do that, but, you know, I'll do it when things get a little... Delay is an enemy of the will of God. You can be sure of this. When the enemy tells you that you can pray later, when the enemy tells you you have a lot of life left to fulfill your call, when the enemy says, you can share Christ with them tomorrow instead of today, you can be sure of one thing, friends, that the enemy has no intention of you doing any of it. It's a delay tactic to get you diverted off the will of God for your life. Plain and simple. The enemy is trying to get you to forget to do what is right. Go to Matthew 18 with me here as I'm getting ready to finish. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Matthew 18, 15 through 17 says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, meaning a fellow Christian, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to even hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. How many of you love the IRS? Now listen, I want you to notice that the offended individual is supposed to take the initiative toward reconciliation. It didn't say to pray about it first. Now, I want you to notice you're supposed to give this individual three chances. Say three.
Three.
Say three strikes, you're out of there. Right? You're supposed to give them three chances. Now, this says if a brother sins against you. Say sins.
Sins.
I don't think. Sometimes you got to use a judgment call on what you're using here, right? You don't want to, on the third try, you don't want to come up here and say, hey, Mary didn't bring my beater back. I confronted her two times before. Oh, you guys, you're tired. You're tired. You must be on a sugar low or something. What I'm saying is it's got to be pretty serious to do these three things. Amen? Go with me to Matthew 5. And Mary, get that beater back to whoever. Okay. Now, was that prophetic? Does someone, is there, Mary, you don't have a beater of someone's, okay, never mind. Okay. Matthew 5, boy, I'm really going off the wagon here. Let's bring her back here for these last few minutes. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. It says this, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So this is literally saying your delay to obey the word of God can literally void out the benefits of giving to the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Be quick to obey the word of God and the Holy Spirit. If you messed up and sinned, confess it. Forsake it quickly. Don't delay. Amen? Don't delay. Don't let this thing bake. All right? Because one sin can turn into a bondage. Are you following me? Be quick to put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, listen to me. Doubt, discouragement, diversion, division and delay are all enemies of the will of God for your life. Church, we need to be alert. We need to be aware of the devices and the evil strategy of the enemy at all time. Amen? We need to stay focused on the word of God. Stay focused on our purpose as a Christian. Stay focused on our specific purpose and calling as a Christian in the body of Christ. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you, all right? He will lead and guide you into all truth. So here's what I want you to do. Ready? In this new year, do whatever it takes to stay within the will of God for your life. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Oh, we're slaying those enemies of the will of God. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Do not leave this place without doing it. If you never have, I want you to come down, even right now, while I'm even speaking, just come to one of these prayer team members and say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Now, maybe you've been backslidden, you've fallen away. Maybe you recognized in this message that you have given in to one or more of these tactics of the enemy. If that's you, come forward and just say, hey, this sermon really touched my heart. I have given in to some of these enemies, and I'm ready to surrender, and I want to grow spiritually. Amen. I want to come back to the Lord and do the will of God for my life. Now, if you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, spoken tongues, come on down. They'll pray for you, and we'll light that fire on the inside of you. Amen. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Want to let you know, we have an online church directory for those who haven't seen it yet. It's called Instant Church Directory. There's a phone app. You can log in on your computer. For me to get you in there, I need your email address. I put your email address in, then you can put yours in there, and they make you create a password, and you can update all your information and even put a picture. And those of you who are avoiding putting a picture, I might go to your Facebook and put one in for you. Are you following me? No. Okay, so if you see a picture of yourself, it's me putting it on there for you. Also, if you want that, give me your email address so we can enter you in the system. Also, Marianne and I, we're starting a vlog. How many of you watched the two videos we did already? Going to Chinese, to Bad Axe, and last night. So what we want to show you what life is like behind the scenes away from the pulpit. We're just going to have fun with it. We're going to minister the word to you. We're going to make you laugh. We're going to just, hey, what's Pastor James and Marianne like behind the scenes? It'll get you some laughs, all right? So Revival Now TV, you can subscribe to that. I'll be sharing them on Facebook and all that. Other than that, have a blessed week. We are back to our regular schedule. Everything, the phone call, Wednesday night, Linda's women's Bible study, men's group, you name it. We got it all, baby, right here at Living Waters Chapel. So get ready. I hope you enjoyed the break because we're going after it hard 2026. Have a great week, everyone. Love you all.